Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, so you're starting it with us.
Yes.
All right.
So like Topo Chico. This is a Texas classic.
Okay.
You can't find this everywhere.
No.
This is a classic sparkling water drink. And typically we drink these with lime, but I don't have any lime. But ain't no party like an XO party. We're going to cheers to the XO Pod Show.
Okay.
You got to break open your... What are you drinking over
guys,
there?
Come on. We got to break this open here. So I went over to Central Market for lunch. Great sushi. And picked this up. It is a... It is Acerasi. Pure water harvested from trees. So I don't know what I'm about to taste, but it's supposed to taste like peach. So... Well, mango.
Okay.
It is a little bougie, but you know, that's me.
Did it cost $7?
Yeah.
$8.99.
I have the classic Arnold Palmer.
Okay. Arnie.
You can't go wrong with it. I mean, iced tea, lemonade.
Yep. Love it.
It's good.
All right.
All right. Welcome to the Pod Show.
Salute.
Salute. This is going to. The bubbly water will make me. Probably have a little bit of...
Hey, good news. It doesn't taste like a tree, so that's good.
Funny voice here. No, it's great to have you on. So, introductions all around. Okay, we've got Eric Gomez, a.k.a. Ego.
Come on.
Oh,
COO of EXO Marriage. And we also have Daniel Van, a.k.a. D-Day. That's a new name.
Oh, new name. Apparently, guys, D-Day it is. I expect to be called that.
Marketing Director Extraordinaire of EXO Marriage. A couple of important team members, guys that I admire, respect tremendously. You've come on board EXO. You've been with EXO for...
Just over a year now. It was a year in February.
That's
wild, huh?
It is.
Yeah. You're less than a year on this
been
side.
Less than a year, but it feels like he's been here forever.
Yes.
It does. Since June of 2021.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've had a full year already with conferences, everything. But one of the things I wanted to do today on the show is sort of peel back the curtain, let people see... kind of some of the most important people behind the scenes that make things happen on a daily basis with EXO. A lot of the people who get a lot of love and attention, people like Jimmy Evans, David Ashley Willis, and it's deserved. They're awesome.
100%
agree. Equally awesome behind the scenes are you two guys. So just having fun today talking about EXO, but also getting to know you better.
Yeah,
talking
man.
About life. Wanted to dive in a little bit with some crypto talk.
Come on, we're starting out with the crypto today, huh?
We'll get there at some point.
All right, let's go. I know we already started this conversation a little while earlier this morning, just talking about some of that stuff. So perfect.
Well, first and foremost, are you invested in crypto?
So I am invested in crypto. I would say I'm like, I don't believe truly in crypto, but I'm not 100% a skeptic in crypto. Mm-hmm. So I'm right in the middle. I invested in it because it's an okay way of making some quick money, but one of those where if it does drop, I'm one of those that's probably going to pull out. Mm-hmm. And then... maybe find another dip to roll back into and make some quick bucks. I don't know if I'm in it for the long haul. It's like one of those where I'm still trying to figure out half the pieces behind it, what makes sense, what doesn't. Part of it doesn't even still make sense to me to this day. Mm-hmm. I just do it because, someone said I could make $100. If I drop in $100, all right, I'll try it out and see how it goes. And that's just kind of how the way I roll when I'm trading stuff. So,
but you guys are kind of in the same space that I am, background-wise especially, because I got started in 1999. The internet bubble was there. I understood a lot about the technology behind the web, the internet architecture, a lot of what made the internet great back in those days. I understood it and was able to kind of use it to facilitate marketing efforts or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I still have enough knowledge to where some of it makes sense, but knowledge has exploded so much that now I look at what they're doing with crypto and all the blockchain technology and how they're infusing that into a lot of what we do on a daily basis, and it's crazy complicated.
Yeah.
There's so many parts and pieces to it. The kicker, and everyone has a crypto story, is I started investing in it several years ago, just on a fly, you know, just just on a whim, mm-hmm. just trying to figure out, you know, what it was. And it was really difficult to invest in back then. But yeah. a buddy of mine was just, hey, get a Coinbase account. Just buy a little bit of mm-hmm. Ethereum and buy a little bit of Bitcoin. You can buy a percentage of it through mm-hmm. Coinbase. So I started doing that and I built it up, but then I sold it right before it all took off.
Yeah.
So the key to that, some of that was being an early adopter.
100%.
Now, though, there's still a lot of opportunity. I just don't know if it's going to be the roller coaster ride that yeah. everybody wants it to be, going straight up mm-hmm. with the Dogecoins, the mm-hmm. yeah. all that, because you're seeing now that they're all coming back down.
Yeah, that's yeah, crazy. I mean, I remember back in high school, my buddy was like, dude, this Bitcoin thing, let's hop on it. It's like $20 or something a Bitcoin at the time. And I was like, you're an idiot. I'm never doing that. That thing's probably going to go away. And lo and behold, he's the one that bought a bunch of Bitcoin back in high school. And now he's enjoying life a little bit on the brighter side with a couple zeros in his side, which is great. As early adoption is really the way that it's been. I mean, you think about IPOs or things like that, too. Mm-hmm. Early adoption. If you hit, you know, you hit Apple when they were small and look at them now, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's the volatility behind crypto that is probably the scariest part for any person to dive into it, because mm-hmm. you really have to sit on it.
Talk about your background, Richard's group, because yeah. we'll get to your background too.
No, I just wanted to add that yeah. he said high school and Bitcoin together.
I know.
And I have high school and like AOL disk.
Yeah. yeah. Sorry, guys. You know, different generations here.
Much different.
My high school.
Okay. I just wanted to just say
yeah.
that.
So if you guys bought into Bitcoin back in your high school days.
Mine was Topps, Donruss,
yes,
trade
yes.
cards.
Not there you ultra go. Cards.
Yeah, uh-huh. yes. ultra.
Still got those frames somewhere.
I have a ton. I have a box full of old baseball cards. I have no idea what to do with them. And some of them have sentimental value to me, so I don't want to get rid of them. Old Nolan Ryan cards. I have some rookie oh, yeah. cards.
Did you have the King Griffey rookie card?
Oh, of course.
Mm. Yeah. You still have it?
I still do.
Nice.
And I have the David Robinson basketball.
Yeah.
His rookie
oh,
card
wow.
was always.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did not mean to take us down this rabbit hole, but it's awesome.
No, I have a whole tub full of them.
And I feel like we should check that out sometime. Bring it on the show. Let's go through some of your best cards.
Yeah. Okay. Let's all do
right.
it.
Done.
And I'll auction them off and probably make like $2.30 from them. So
you might find a gold card in there somewhere.
Do people even pay anything for them anymore?
They do. Yeah, yeah they actually dude. Do. Yeah, there's still quite a big market for it.
Yeah, so. That and, dude, Pokemon cards. It's ridiculous how much some of those go for. Mm-hmm. Like a buddy of mine had one card he's had since he's a kid, like $150,000.
That's crazy.
He's like got a case, got it authenticized and all of that. But yeah, he's just sitting on $150,000. He can unload whenever he wants.
One of my favorite things, they're not worth anything, are I have a bunch of old Becketts mm-hmm. that used to look things up. And I have one with Bo Jackson. With
That's
the,
a classic one.
Oh,
the
yes.
baseball and the shoulder pads on.
It's just one. It's just awesome all around.
Mm-hmm. That was those were the heydays of trading cards and you know yeah. people going to conventions and getting autographs by people. I mean, it was so much fun back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, moved away from that in NFTs now, but my background. So I went to college at the University of Texas at Austin. So hook 'em horns. I'm going to throw that out there. Sorry, Eric Randall in the back there. He's throwing up. Studied. I went through a few different majors there and eventually ended up in the advertising space. I always spent 2 years trying to get into the business school and sadly didn't make it because freshman calculus really did me a good one. And then went into kinesiology and then flipped over to advertising. Really just kind of fell in love with it. It was something that was unique and different at the time. It was at the time when like Mad Men was also coming out and you're seeing these shows, you're like, oh, I want to be that guy. So it was cool. And then I came right out of college into the Richards Group based here in Dallas. So a really awesome agency, really awesome opportunity for me to learn. Learned a lot there. Spent close to 10 years there. Brand management to start, first 5 years servicing clients, creating commercials, radio ads, TV commercials, digital, all that. And so it's a full service agency out there and they do stellar work. The creative teams there are, I was spoiled with creative teams there, man. They just think on a whole different spectrum. After 5 years there, in that role specifically, there's a little bit of a void that came about with some shift shifts organizationally there. And at the time, my boss, Jeff Armstrong, he and a buddy, Taylor Smiley, started up the sports and entertainment arm, what became known as Richards Partnership Marketing, which was an affiliate of the agency. And so I hopped on with them. I'm a big sports nut. I enjoy every aspect of sports and keeping up with that. So it was a really good passion point fit for me. And so we jumped into there and we started facilitating partnerships with our brands at the agency with various sports entities out there. You know, there's a bunch of different ways that I think partnerships makes a ton of sense in the marketing space. You just got to find the ones that make the most sense. You know, for instance, one of the ones I love the most is Home Depot and their college game day, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, it's such a great, unique way. You never really thought about it. You think of even the smallest detail where this set was built, you know, by Home Depot, and you can see kind of the various components like that, and integrating that into a show like that was really cool. And so did about 5 years kind of funneling through a few different accounts, building partnerships, both professional and collegiate level teams and sports organizations. And then, what was it, December of 20 is when I heard about XO. My brother-in-law, you know, he's a good friend of yours, Ryan Warren.
Ryan Warren.
Yeah. So shout out there. But then he
a lot of shout outs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, well, he's a dancer extraordinaire.
So yes. Yeah, funny story. That's how I used to be a dancer, but you're going to have to edit that part out. yes, male dancer. yeah, so that was, you know, and that's where me and Ryan met. I'm married to his sister. She was a dancer as well back in college. And so we're just a big old dancing family, you know.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and so that's when I heard about XO and started interviewing. I interviewed for a different position, if you remember.
I do remember that.
Something in the events department. And then kind of that didn't work out and got a call from you guys. And I was like, oh, why don't you come in and chat with BE, the CEO? And I was like, really? Wow, that was a big step. I didn't get a job, and now I got to go in and talk to the CEO. So that was a fun next step. But that's that was a year ago now, and now we're here.
Oh, it's been great. I mean, for my background being marketing, hiring somebody in the marketing department was important, to say the least, but also needed somebody that could help drive things at a higher level. The Richards Group is world renowned. I mean, they've been known for many, many years. They have high class clients, and they've done a lot in the world. Unfortunately, they didn't the end of the story for Stan Richards isn't great.
Yeah,
but they did a lot of great work.
Absolutely.
And so it's a really important feature that you were you spent time there and learned a lot there. So how that would apply to what we're doing here, I didn't know. I didn't know you that well. I knew you were brother-in-law to Ryan Warren. That's great, but it's one thing to do that, but nothing to be able to execute marketing at a high level. And since you've come on board, you have transformed that whole area. So
yeah, it's been fun, man.
It's been great. See, we went through a major rebrand. Mm-hmm. We've overhauled our website. We've done a lot through our conferences with the themes and the branding. And so you've done a good job of taking that and making it work in the marketing space. And you and Karis have been married for how long?
We are coming up on 6 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, awesome. Pretty wild, right? So we got married back in 2016, July 3rd. So coming on up, we got one son and another one on the way. Current son's 2.5, coming up on 3 in June. And I'm exhausted trying to keep up with this little guy, man. That dude is it's awesome because he loves to run. I think he's going to be pretty good at sports. We'll see. But the dude's just nonstop. I feel like he doesn't have an off switch sometimes.
They don't.
I'm glad I'm not in that phase anymore. Nope. Okay, we're switching over to Ego.
What's up?
Ego.
Well, tomorrow, first of all, you and Keisha are going to be married for 20 years.
20 years. It's a big old 2-0.
I'm just going to say this, and this I feel like this is fair game, but the two questions that Eric always gets, because I asked him first and foremost. Yeah. Well, first of all, he's old enough to have a grandchild that's your son's age. People don't realize that. His son, you have a son that's 25.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he's married. You could definitely have a kid.
I could be a grandparent.
But you look like you're 25 yourself.
Thank you.
So you always look younger. And then you were born in Mexico, but you don't speak Spanish.
Well, thank you for pointing that out.
Those are two questions you always get asked,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, isn't it always?
It's always those two questions.
I asked you that question the first time we met, and since I've been with you, everyone says the same thing.
The same two questions.
You have a 25-year-old? How old are you?
How old are you?
Do you speak Spanish?
And then, yeah, oh, are you from Texas? Oh, I was born in Mexico. Oh, do you speak Spanish? No, yeah. I don't. Sorry to disappoint. Those are the two questions
endearing.
I get.
It's an endearing feature of your life. But congrats on 20 years.
Thank you.
You and Keisha. And so how are you going to celebrate?
You know what? Tomorrow we are going to just have a nice dinner and just call it an easy weekend. I think our easy Wednesday night. And then hopefully this weekend we'll be able to get out and go do something special.
Yeah.
Trying to get that planned out right now.
You got dinner planned yet? Where are y'all going?
I got a couple options. Looking at, of course, Perry's. Can't go wrong with Perry's down the road here.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And then Brent put me on a Monarch.
Yeah,
oh, Monarch in Dallas.
That's where we celebrate.
At that place right now, and those are the two kind of that I'm considering. We'll find out, I guess, whenever this airs, which one I picked.
Perry's is closer, which is nice.
Yeah, that's the nice part. We have a Wednesday night church night, kiddos at church and stuff. So we don't want to be too far away, and so we'll see where we end up.
Yeah, Monarch is downtown off Elm Street here in Dallas, and it's in, I can't remember the hotel building. It's a big building. It's on the 49th floor. Mm-hmm. It's one of those cool experiences when you walk in, you valet, you walk into this big corporate office building, and there's a little station where they hand you champagne and direct you to the elevators.
Nice.
And so you're sipping champagne on the way up to the 49th floor. You get up there. Wow. It's a beautiful view of the city. It's a really well done. It's an upscale Italian place, basically, but really well done. It's a great experience. Mm-hmm. Super crowded. A lot of hip, trendy people there well. But it's a great place.
So you fit in.
I did not fit well. we enjoyed it. It was great food, but
it's cool.
I felt it's one of those weird experiences where you go to the bathroom and the bathroom overlooks the city. Like you're sitting there going to the bathroom and there's the city right there and you're like, can they see me right now?
Yeah. They're probably looking in.
Someone has a binos on you.
Yes.
Well, you would think that there's something somewhere, some camera angle that they've got. But Stephanie says she went into the women's restroom. And it was the same way. Like you walk in there and go install, and there's a wide open window.
Wow!
But I guess that's the cool thing these days. It was a cool experience.
Yeah. We'll see. I'll let you know if we make it.
Go to the bathroom and let the whole world see. Apparently,
I guess if that's of interest to people, I would hope not. So 20 years. So you all have three kids total, though. You have two in high school still.
Two in high school and one already graduated. And so 16, 18, 25.
Yep.
And a daughter-in-law, 24. So
that's great.
Yeah. Family's great. Family's growing. Yeah. It's we're about to be empty nesters in a couple of years. And,
Your son's going to ACU?
Yep. I'm going to Abilene Christian.
Yeah.
And so he's excited. He'll be going down in August. And then my daughter will be right behind him.
Yeah.
Same school.
Wow. So it's awesome.
It is.
So your relationship with me and with XO is unique because your role here you're essentially running the ship while I'm doing other things. A lot of times I'm operating at a higher level and you're taking care of the team, taking care of the culture, all the operations, you're helping things move and shake. And really, you've done a phenomenal job of the last year of growing things and making things stronger and better, build back better. That's an old saying I took from the president of the United States. I don't know where I'm going with that.
It's okay.
I got lost on my own rabbit trail. So you and I started talking about, I don't know, 3 years ago.
Yes.
And Doug Stamps, shout out to Doug.
Shout out to Doug.
That's a shout out today.
Yeah.
We need to have a little counter at the bottom. How many shout outs we give. But Doug Stamps is an amazing man. Goes to Keystone. And his wife, Angelia, are great friends. He introduced me to you because we were looking for a position here. Chief Operating Officer, of just really somebody that could come in and help shoulder the load that I was feeling running the operations. So we started talking, had a great conversation at a Starbucks. I think that was our first meeting. It was at Starbucks. Got to know each other. And then I think I ghosted you for a while.
You did. I think it was around, I want to say it was around 8 months. I didn't hear it from you.
Yeah.
Around eight
Not
months.
Not a word.
Well, there was a hey, hope all is well, more or less text, like just checking up on you.
Yeah.
How are you doing? And I think he did that out of I don't want to leave this guy completely hanging.
I was interviewing several people, but you were one of the ones that I was initially talking to. It was just such an important role, and I didn't really know how to quantify what I was looking for, and it really took time. So we, I think we met up again, and we had a follow-up conversation, and then I just was always needing somebody, and there was all these people I was talking to, and then, but I realized that I was just gun shy, you know, just not willing to pull the trigger on it because I was fearful that this was such an important role that I would bring somebody in and it wouldn't work out. And then it's a messy exit at that level. Those were my inner thoughts, but I still needed somebody so bad. So finally, it was such a random time and place. You didn't even know what I was texting you for. But we met up at Cool Greens. Shout out to Cool Greens.
Cool Greens.
Over on 1709 here in South Lake.
You know, I haven't tried that spot. I hear it's good though.
Good spot. Little sidebar trivia. A couple that owned that were awesome. They had lived internationally as missionaries. They came back. They started this place. They were always there, always on top of things. They were awesome. They just recently sold it. It's not as good.
That's disappointing.
Sorry, we're if you've seen me at Cool Greens. It's not that I don't hate it, but it's not as good as it was because they were very attentive to detail.
Yeah,
now it just feels like
it was fantastic. Yeah. It really was. I mean, it's just a walk in, walk out, more or less place like a Chipotle or some thing. Yeah. But the way that they made you feel walking in and out, it felt like a Chick-fil-A almost. Yeah. It felt great.
Yeah, it did. So that's where we met for lunch. Had a follow up conversation. You didn't know I was wanting to talk to you about coming on board, and essentially we put. That lunch kind of put things in motion to bring you in. I think that was around April that we met. And you started.
So no second interview? First interview, ghost him, bring him back.
No, there was a couple discussions. I think it was Starbucks two or three times.
Okay.
And then it was many months in between. I think when I say many months, it was like a year. I think there was
12 months to be exact.
I think there was around 12 months, and that was during the year 2020. So it was it was during COVID.
Yeah,
right?
there was a lot going on,
the pandemic.
So,
yeah, the pandemic happened, and so I think that kind of I understood, you know, because at that point you had to there was no conferences happening, there was nothing as far as a lot of movement on that side of it, and so. I never put it to rest though. I kind of knew in my heart that for me, it was always kind of like, I was going to say yes. I mean, because it was something that my wife and I had prayed about. It was something we talked about a lot. And I pretty much told her, if he comes back and says it, and he says, hey, I would love to bring you on, I'm going to say yes. But then, you know, regardless of, I don't want to say regardless what the salary is, pretty much regardless of what it is, we're going to say yes, we're going to take this leap of faith. Yeah. Because I came from corporate world where everything was comfortable. Everything was, I was well established in a career. Yeah.
19 years, right?
Yeah, 19 years. Yeah. And so worked at Nokia. And so I knew I was going to say yes. And so the lunch at Cool Greens was just, it was nice to finally have that confirmation that you were ready.
Yeah.
And we said yes and started on June 1st last year.
Well, I think some of the cool things were that when we first started talking, your life was in Paradise, Texas.
Paradise, Texas. Yes,
sir. You were, driving in. Your world was different. My world's a little bit different. So it really mapped out to be God's perfect timing, I believe, my personal belief in that. It was an awkward kind of courting process. But again, for that position, it was really important to me that I knew the person that was coming in because I needed to lean on them fairly heavily.
Yeah.
And you got pretty much day one thrown into the deep end of the pool. And there was a lot of responsibility thrown your way right away. But that was good. I think you did a great job of coming in, learning the system.
There's no better way to learn than just jumping straight in.
Yeah.
Just jump in and learn how to swim.
Yeah, I came in 1 week, for second week of February. The next week, we had the big old conference down in Houston. And so not even 7 days in, I'm going to play a part in our first big conference. So that was pretty cool. That was, like you said, greatest learning experience you could probably have just because I believe our conferences are a really nice encapsulation of who we are and what we're trying to do and what our mission is. And so being able to see that both from the back end but also the front end because I'd never been to a conference before, I think that was what kickstarted my whole learning process, which is really cool.
Yeah. We have a lot of new team members here at XO. And again, I think that's kind of by God's design because we're entering such a new season. The vision that I have for the organization is fresh and new. It doesn't leave behind all of that we've built upon, my dad's content, those sorts of things.
Yep.
But it's definitely going to stretch people away from some of the traditional means that we used to have.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, traditional Christian television, direct mail, those approaches to ministry, fundraising, whatever it is. to now shifting to things where we're talking about crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, how do we turn, you know, content into, you know, viral videos mm-hmm. that will help to drive not just ministry, but the resources of the yep. ministry as well. Mm-hmm. The building project, which mm-hmm. y'all were part of the groundbreaking and part of all of that. I mean, that's a very monumental time for the ministry that y'all are coming up to be a part of. That's mm-hmm. a new dimension of the ministry as well, that I believe God's kind of prepared the team and built the team for that time period. It's going up right now over across the highway. You can see all the machines and they're about to start pouring concrete. Yep. It's a great time of the ministry. So I do feel like you guys specifically, but also a lot of the team now, we're all sort of, you know, getting battle tested and ready for what's about to come, because mm-hmm. In my opinion, XO is only going to get better and better.
Yeah, it's on a springboard right now. Like, and I feel like, I think at a time we felt like we're here, but I think now we're here because there's just so much. I think our level of content, our level of production, I think is just going to continue to increase. Even with the new building, man, it's just going to open up so many cool doors for us.
Shout out to Ed Young. It's going to go to a whole another level.
He does take it there.
Ding. Nice.
Yes, we do need a bell right here. Just a ding.
Yeah.
Shout out.
I mean, you know, Fellowship Church, the conference we had there was incredible. It was amazing. And that lineup, it felt... Coming out of COVID, coming out of a weird season of conferences, it felt like it was back to normal. It was one of our best conferences I think mm-hmm. we've ever had, just in terms of spirit and content and the camaraderie of everyone. Y'all have gotten to know a lot of our speakers, mm-hmm. a lot of the people behind the scenes too. The culture and the feeling of what we're doing is special. It just is. It just you can't fabricate it. It has to happen organically, and it really has happened mm-hmm. that way. You have people like the Willises that, you know, are interacting with, you know, Dan, Leanne, and all of their speakers, and they genuinely like each other, enjoy being around one another, they enjoy coming to conferences when they're together. Yeah. It's like friends, and
100%.
It's not just a, hey, we're hiring people to come in and speak at a conference. It's not just a TED Talk feel. It's no, this is special because everyone here wants to be here for a purpose.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing I've seen just with speakers and outside. I've worked a lot with like athletes and things like that, agents and whatnot. And it's a very different vibe. I've never been on the conference side of things where it's like speakers who we have a personal relationship with and things like that. But I think Naroop and Dan have said it best. Like even when they're not speaking, they enjoy being there, consuming the conference. But also just they look forward to our conferences because it's a time for them to get together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's what's been real neat to kind of put together the roster that we have, right? And it is kind of like a team roster. I think of like the old Bulls team, right? You mm-hmm. know, I think of the old Lakers. I think of, you know, and, you know, every one of those teams had, of course, you had your MJs and stuff like that. But each one of them had, you know, their specialty, right? Steve Kerr was a three-point specialist. You had Dennis Rodman, who was a rebound specialist, mm-hmm. right? You had Luke Longley, who just took charges, right? I mean, it was kind of like built for success, all right, and they accounted for all these different dimensions of the games, mm-hmm. and I think that's what we're doing now, right? And I think that's when you talk about kind of like the lid that we have, mm-hmm. that this potential, like we have so much room to grow, is the best is yet to come, right? And so for XO, and I think that's where and usually you gain that lift and you gain that space by bringing in new people, mm-hmm. right, with new talents, you know, different seasons, but the building, and then we got the picture there, the land. Mm-hmm. That building is going to give us so much more capacity to do more.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's shooting cool new podcast or YouTube series or bringing in Q&A type sessions, I just think that it raises the lid. And so now we have all of this like a sandbox to play in. And so what do we get to do with it? Right. And it's a sandbox. So some of it's going to be built, some of it might fall, mm-hmm. But a lot of it's going to stick. And I think that's what's really neat to kind of, when I look at the land and I think like, okay, we have this sandbox. What are we going to do with it now? We use the term R&D a lot. Like, mm-hmm. We use that a lot because we are R&D, right? Mm-hmm. We are trying to see what sticks, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, the people's tastes and what people want to do.
Yep.
It changes. It is so rapid.
So
it's rapid.
Yeah.
You know, and my background is software, right? My background is mobile broadband, working for Nokia for 19 years and then working into software development. And end-to-end, more or less, feature releases. And so that was, we're always on the front end, whether it was 2G back in the day with Edge, if you take it back, guys, if you had an old 2G phone, or if you moved to 3G, UMTS, LTE, 4G, 5G, as you moved into it, we were always on the front end trying to predict and anticipate what people were needing out there. And it's no different now. It's no different than the position I'm in now. The position that I'm in with this team now is we're trying to anticipate as this world is so it's hard, it's broken, it's challenging. There's so much suffering in the world. How do we help them? How do we anticipate what's coming? How do we, so that we're not reacting to the hurt, we're actually ahead of it. We're actually a little bit ahead of it and providing it to them as they need it. So,
well, I think one of the things that, you know, for an organization, we don't lead with the hurt side of the ministry. We don't lead with, hey, your marriage is in crisis, come talk to us.
Yeah.
We lead with more of the fun side of marriage, the date nights, the honeymoon, honeymoon phases, the content, I mean, about sex and about romance, about intimacy. So, because I want marriage to be fun, but we also have the mediation side of the ministry that's there for people when they need help. Mm-hmm. So that's the balance of what we're doing is how do we showcase and minister to people at a high level and cover all these different topics in a relevant way, but also make sure people get really strong help if their marriage is on the verge of divorce.
Yep.
So that's a very difficult, from a brand perspective, that's a very difficult counterbalance. And how do you operate in both places? Mm-hmm. I think the conference is the one way that I can visibly see it happening in real time because people are coming and they're in all different stages of their marriage. Some people are just brand new married. Shout out to Maggie, who's in the room. Her and her husband Max just got married. They were at the conference and they're so new. I mean, in marriage that the content for them felt different. Mm-hmm. I knew people that were coming to the conference that had been married for 20 plus years that were contemplating divorce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the content feels very different for them, but it's still the Holy Spirit uses it all and is able to apply it.
100%.
But whenever somebody's talking about mediation on stage, what somebody might tune out, another person's tuning in, and you're always kind of dialing in and dialing out these conversations that people can, number one, enjoy, but number two, utilize for their marriage, which I think is important. It's by design. It's not accidental. None of it's accidental. Mm-hmm. We work hard at the ministry here to make sure everything is well done at an excellent level, but highly effective. And that's what... I think that's what keeps us a little bit ahead of some of the conference game, some of the content game for what we're doing is because we're thinking through it on a strategic level, not just on a, let's just try this level kind of thing.
Yeah, that conference, from the theming to the speakers to the... to the praying to the seats, right? Over the seats as we do every time. We're months, we're a year ahead right now. You know, it's, was it March 22, March 22nd. We're March and we have 23. We have an idea what 23 looks like. We're getting it ready now. And trying to be prayerful. Of course, we're always prayerful, but being prayerful about what does God want to push through the ministry? What is that next, thing that he wants to use us for? And I think that's the cool thing about XO is that we have so many creative minds and such a creative team. But then we have also people that just know how to do it.
Yeah.
We have people that just know how to execute at a high level of excellence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the neat thing about working here has been, we're not trying to replace the church. Like that's not our role. Our role is not to replace the church, but it is kingdom work. It is ministry work.
Yeah.
And so, we take it serious. Everyone here, we take our own personal walk and our relationship with Jesus serious. And so it's not something that we forget about.
Yeah.
It's always at the core of it. It's always at the core of it.
For sure. Yeah. And I think just, back to where you're talking about the balance between the two, I think that's been the cool thing about XO is how we leverage both of those two. Like, what we don't want people to do is only come to us when you have a problem. I think marriage is one of those things where it is an everyday effort on both parts in order to get where you want to go in marriage, to be able to communicate effectively, raise a family together, work through differences. And so on the front side of it, we're always, the content we develop is so unique and so practical that you can come to us and just start to find ways in which you can apply some of these learnings, these teachings from people like Jimmy and people like like Dave and Ashley into your marriage, but we're also here in the event you are going through a situation or a crisis or something in need. We can kind of help facilitate both of those. We want to equip people to be able to tackle those problems before they get there. Mm-hmm. I think that's our, not solution, but our battle in terms of how do we get people to not think about divorce? Because once you get to that crisis level, that's when you start to bring that word up. But if you can tackle a lot of those issues along the way and build up to something that doesn't require you to maybe get to that low of a point in a situation, that's, I think, the heart behind how I viewed our ministry and the content that we produce and the way that we produce it and in the way that we showcase it at conference. That's why a lot of the messages we have at conference from a lot of our speakers, they just speak to so many different avenues because it's all so impactful within your marriage, no matter what situation you're in. Mm-hmm. But then when, like, Sean Lynette, another shout out there, ding, when they come up and talk about the mediation program that we have and how it can help you or how it can empower you to help others in your community as well. I think that's such a cool facet of our ministry that we've just barely started to tap into. Mm-hmm. So
I agree. Yeah. To build an army of mediators that are equipped and trained in how to handle crisis situations with mm-hmm. EXO resources, and that it's working in congruence with everything else that we're mm-hmm. doing across the nation.
Yeah.
You know, churches are equipped, couples find hope. It really is it's a big idea, but it's something that's attainable, I think, in the next season of the ministry. Yep. which I'm excited about. Okay. So, you know, life with kids and being in the season, your kids are older, so that you're in the fun.
So much fun though.
Fun phase.
It is. It's a blast, you know, with, like I said, two teenagers, one adult, and he's killing it right now. Brandon is just absolutely just climbing, just doing everything that you pray your kid's going to do, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be a responsible young man. He's going to be, he's going to love Jesus. He's going to honor his wife. He's going to provide for his wife, support his wife.
He's a smart kid. I call him a kid, 25-year-old. I sat next to him at the conference, and man, he was sharp. Sharp.
He's one of those. My brother-in-law's a data scientist, literally a data scientist. And when he gets going, you know, it's kind of hard to keep up, right? When you're talking to someone who's at that level of, you know, detail. And Brandon is the same thing, and that's what he wants to go to grad school for. He went to Harding in Arkansas, great school. Mm-hmm. But now he's focused on his career. Yep. And so he's killing it. And so, but it's really, it's different seasons. Like with him, I just give him kind of like, you know, encouragement, and every once in a while he'll ask me a question, you know, hey, how do you approach this, you know, in business? Like, I get more business questions now than I get like, hey dad, you know what do you think of this philosophy on this? Not a lot of that. It's more kind of like, what do you think, how should I word this email?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, approach it this way.
Yeah.
But with my 18-year-old, 16-year-old, it's different, right? We're still, but it's also no longer just parenting. I'm no longer kind of like saying, hey, don't touch the oven because it's hot, mm-hmm. right? I don't want you to burn yourself.
Yep, that's now, the phase I'm in right now.
Yes, it's not that. It's more, you know, because they're both dating, you know, so now we're talking about how do you date, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we date with the intention of marriage at the end of it. We're not just dating to date. How do you see the dignity in everyone? How mm-hmm. do you see the dignity in her? How do you see the dignity in him? Mm-hmm. How do you not gossip? I think that's one of the biggest things.
Well, like, this age group coming through high school right now, my daughter's a freshman. The technology side of it is so pervasive with
snap.
The gossip side of it, the vanity side of it,
yes.
the rudeness side of it. You know, you can just trash people on social media, like you can trash them no way else.
Uh-huh.
And just the trauma, the mental trauma, the what we're producing out of that crop of kids after they've just gone through a pandemic, and you know, now social media is a fabric of their society. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the generation that's always like, man, these kids, I worry about them, you know, this generation coming up. But it's just, it is weird to see what they're experiencing at such a young age. Mm-hmm. The intensity of it, just the complexity of it. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very challenging.
Real.
And as a parent, how to coach them through that.
Yeah.
You just have to go back to the basics. How do you be a good person? Have good character, make good choices. You can really screw up your life very quickly these days by doing something stupid online. Yeah. You know, first step is getting expelled from school. Second step is getting, you know, getting your name trashed, and or going to prison. And that's quick these days. I mean, there's things that you can do with a computer or a phone that can really get yourself in trouble. That trying to teach your kids that now.
Yeah, you could trash your reputation before you even started.
Yes.
Like, right? And then you could post something on, you know, out there, and it's going to ruin a chance that might, a door that might open for you later as they find it, because it lives on forever. And so that is a different walk right now for him. I'm so glad that we didn't have social media back when we were in the 90s. Oh, my goodness. I was such a bad kid. I would have never have made it this far in my life.
Well, you know, when I was, I don't know, my son is 10, or one of my sons is 10. You know, when I was that age, to 13, there really was no access to bad things, right?
Yeah.
The closest I ever got to that stuff was, like, every once in a while, HBO would have a free weekend, and there'd be some shows on or whatever. And that's whenever, you know, you're as a kid, you're sneaky or whatever. Just being real. We're going to edit this out, B-Rock.
No, we're keeping
this one. I think that stays in.
So it's true. I mean, you just didn't have access to
that. Yeah, I understand.
Now, my son, we have an extra phone just we use for, like, emergencies or whatever. And he was on there, was texting some kid he met from Fortnite. Words I've never said before, but some random kid he met from, it's a friend of his cousin that he knew from Fortnite. He was texting him, but a spam text came in. Mm-hmm. He clicked the link. And it took him to some horrible images of two adults really getting intimate, and some, you know, images that I didn't want him to see at 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, first of all, rule number one, never click
on one of
those. A link. You don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's spam. They're desperate. That's
life rule 101. Yes. If you don't know who it's from, don't click.
The second I was just asking, what did you see? What was it? And he was like, I knew immediately when I saw it, I shouldn't see it. I clicked out of it. He said, I'm so sorry. I said, but, you know, let's talk about it. You know, he's getting to the age where he's noticing things. And those are conversations that are difficult as parents, because you're trying not to, you want your kids to be kids and let them have the opportunity to learn lessons, but you're also not wanting them to see the filth that's out there and keep them from it's horrible on the internet. And it really can just be, you're going about your business and all of a sudden you're just looking at stuff, especially my daughter's 14. I don't want her to see stuff that's out there.
No.
Even if it's some of the images that are posted on Instagram that are just people full of themselves, you know, just posting, you know, shots of their body or shots of their relationships, their friendships, whatever it is, it can sometimes get really gross really quick.
Yep.
And I just don't want that to be always in front of my kids. So how do you do that without keeping them away from social media, which is also a byproduct of their interaction with their friends?
Yeah.
It's a challenge these days.
I think the term helicopter parent, it gets tossed around a lot right now. What's funny is, like, when you're younger, when we were younger, we're like, hey, we're not going to be helicopter parents. We're just not going to be helicopter parents. Yeah. And we are completely helicopter parents. You know, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, we get the comments, you know, like, well, you're the only parents that ever. We're not. I guarantee it.
No,
guarantee we're not the only parents. But we, you know, we have taken it very serious. Social media, protecting their eyes, and I mean, of course, every kid, every young person, if you want access, you have the access. If you really want to, and of course, so you know, you try to point them right. I stole something, you know, from Mark Driscoll a long time ago, was pulling down heaven to a moment or pulling up hell to a moment, right? And pretty much to your words, to your eyes, to your whatever you look at, to whatever you say to people. And so that's kind of been one of the things that I've always tried to tell them, you know, and it's because it's something that I've applied to my life that has worked.
Yep.
And so for the most part, I feel like we've done a good job. And so thank God, you know. They're fantastic. And, you know, they have a lot of opportunity and nothing's been taken away from them because they've made some wise decisions. But it doesn't take away still the temptations, because they still have desires. They still want to be on social media. They still want to be able to talk with their friends via Snap or whatever it is. And so just of recent, we've kind of started loosening up on that.
Yeah.
You know, before they, you know, as we get into their 16 to 18 year old age. But we moved to paradise. You mentioned paradise. We moved to paradise because we wanted to get away from the city.
Yeah.
We moved to paradise because we wanted acreage and we wanted to live, the little, you know, house on the prairie type land,
the country,
you know,
life,
country life, horses, donkeys, chickens, all of it. And it was a blast. It was great. I mean, and it was great because there wasn't a lot of distractions. There was a lot of family time. So we got to invest. And as we did that, I think that was one of the things that I think for us, it really kind of worked in our family to help build them to where they are now.
Being
the helicopter parent, don't be ashamed of it. Own it. We now own that. And so we're trying to loosen up on it.
Yeah.
No, you'd rather, these days, you'd rather go to that extreme rather than the extreme of don't care, do whatever you want, to the point where you're drinking with your kids just so you're using the excuse. Oh, gosh. at least they were drinking with me and not some random place.
We're there right now because we're taking Eli on his senior trip to Mexico.
Mm. What part of Mexico?
Playa.
Playa.
But legal age is 18. So. Yeah.
In Mexico.
Not in the States, but we're in Mexico. So what do you do? Yeah. I won't tell you what we're doing, but I'm just going to say that it was a long discussion.
Yes.
It was a long discussion. And, it was prayer and everything. And we landed on it somewhere and we're going to move with that.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm thinking about Playa right now and being there.
Playa used to be Cancun. Playa used to be where me and my wife would always go for our anniversary. So every July, sometime in July, we take a week out there, sit on the beach, do absolutely nothing.
I love that.
Have a few.
Yeah. In college, I was at Baylor with spring break. My friend and I went to Mazatlan on some. We bought it from some shady travel agency in Dallas. We went on a no-name charter plane with a bunch of other college kids.
It just said plane. Just said
aeropuerto.
Somewhere out there pulling the prop, trying to get it to fire.
It was a scary flight. We didn't care. We got there. And I mean, there was enough Corona to live on, for weeks on end. And
yes.
It was all inclusive place. And I was 18 at the time. And I thought to myself, my parents, they let me go. But I thought to myself, now I would never want my kids to do what I did. Mazatlan is.
No.
No bueno.
Yes.
No.
It's not a good place now. I mean, I'm not trying to
throw sure it was good then.
Well, no, it wasn't good then. But you didn't know any different.
Yes.
Now you do. It was Partyville. And that's the season of my life that I'm not proud of.
It's
but
okay.
it did it's happen. Okay. Mazatlan did happen. And but I think about my kids now. I'm like, I would be more the helicopter parent of ain't no way. Not on my dime.
No.
Yeah. You're an adult now. You can make your decisions. But if that's your decision, there may be some additional consequences from of the financial side. Because I just don't want to encourage that those mistakes. Because you think through your life and you think about, opportunities you had to do things. The right way or do things kind of the wild way, which I did for a while. And I'm fortunate that I didn't do anything to ruin my life because I could have.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities I could have taken to even in my life. I mean, it was that crazy of a time in my life where I was just kind of wheels off. And I don't want my kids to deal with that. Yeah. So whatever you can do to avoid that.
I think that's where the kids get – they say – I think for the kids, sometimes it feels unfair because you're trying to protect them for what you did, of course. And so then they say, like, well, I'm not you, or, we don't live in that area. Or, that's not a risk for me. But I think it is. Yeah. And those are those things where, I do believe that as parents, you kind of go through experiences and you go through things that God specifically had you go through so that you can help your kids or whoever it is that's going to be within your circle to help them walk through it, your testimony and walk that. So those are the things that we try to walk them through. But Mexico, man, I mean, Mexico is one of those places, like you said, if you go by yourself, if it was on their dime, it's on you, not on me. I think you said that perfectly. If it's something that I'm carrying, covering on me, then
no,
not happening.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. We watched this weekend with my boys. This is a fun season. I'm sure you probably watched it with your son, Dax, too. But we watched the latest Spider-Man movie.
No Way Home.
No Way Home.
Yeah.
And I don't geek out very often, but it's a pretty cool movie. I saw it at the theaters, but we watched it again. I was like, they did a good job.
Dude,
on this.
I am behind the eight ball because I have not watched it yet. I know it just came out. I need to. No spoilers.
No spoilers. 5 months after the movie has come out on Daniel.
Because I got to still watch it.
Well, I'll just say this. The greatest actor in that whole movie, William Dafoe.
100% agree, just because I've read the reviews on his acting in that movie. And I was a big Goblin fan when that first came out. When he was the first, I was like, no one's ever going to do it better. But I can't wait to see his performance.
It's really, you know, there's that one clip of him. I'm somewhat of a scientist myself. And he delivers on that line again. But his, just how he could turn from Osborn into the Goblin so quick.
Yeah, his facial expressions. The way that his eyebrows raise, the way that his cheekbones,
voice inflection.
I mean, all of it is just. It's
when you think about how long in between those movies, but it felt like he never left the role at all. Yeah. It just felt like he just stepped in from the last movie and continued on his sequence. That's the crazy part about that whole kind of just actors in general, that good actors that can do that, that can live through a role and make that a part of who they are. Yeah. Because then when you're like, hey, William, do you mind coming and being the Goblin again? Boom. Immediately ready to go. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty wild. I can't wait to see it. I've heard
about great movies. You got to go watch it.
I didn't watch the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies.
They're great. They're fantastic.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're great. I don't know. They didn't get great reviews, and I was like, I don't know if I'm into Andrew Garfield as a Spider-Man. And we were watching it with my daughter and wife as well, and they were like, oh, my gosh, Andrew Garfield is by far the cutest Spider-Man. I was like, really? The guy from The Social Network? And they're like, yes. I was like, not Tom Holland? No. He's okay, but Andrew Garfield. I was like, what about Tobey Maguire? You know, which, you know, Tobey Maguire. Tobey Maguire was actually, you know, the OG.
OG, man.
I liked him. Mm-hmm.
I thought Spider-Man. He was perfectly cast back when it came out, man. I was like, wow, if I imagined Peter Parker, it would be Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Kristen Dunst's MJ was perfect.
Yes. It was very good casting. Like, if, because I grew up reading the comic books, and so I could picture what if a real Spider-Man, real Peter Parker, who he was, that was exactly who I was picturing. Now, with like Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland, I never really pictured them as a true Peter Parker, like from the comics. Mm-hmm. They never really fit that bill for me, but they've done excellent jobs in the role. But Toby is the OG. I think that was where it's at.
But if you watch that movie, Molly's Game, have you ever seen that movie, Molly's Game?
Yes, that's good. That's a good movie.
You know, they based that one character on Tobey Maguire.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm watching it. This is not something my kids know. You know, I haven't watched that movie, but I'm just thinking, if the way they depict that player in the movie Molly's Game is Tobey Maguire, that dude is a jerk. Yes, this is a PG-13 podcast, so I can say jerk.
You can say
he
that,
is a jerk.
Yes. It was not a him in his greatest light.
No, they said that he was just tortured people.
Uh-huh.
That was also a great movie.
But he was a big gambler.
Yeah.
He was big. And it's pretty wild, the movie. It's about how this girl named Molly started this like underground poker tournament for like the high-end clientele.
I think I've seen the trailer for this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it was a really well-done movie. And so
Idris Elba was in there, a lot of mm-hmm. people like that.
Yeah, Idris, next 00.
I hope so. I'd love that.
I really would love to see that.
Oh, the guy from Fast and Furious, he was in the last one, right?
Last one.
He was what else is he in?
Oh, he's been
he's
in
a ton. Oh, he's in Thor. He's Thor. Yeah, he's uh-huh. Thor. He's I forgot his name.
The gatekeeper guy.
Yes.
Put the sword in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he would be a great 00.
Oh, he would be fantastic. Yeah. And he's British, you know, those guys. Though it's always freaks me out when I'm watching a movie and somebody like Walking Dead, for example, Rick, mm-hmm. sheriff, main guy. Totally British.
Dude, yeah, the way they turn on those accents, man.
It's a total show about the zombies. I don't know. That wasn't anything. I can only do like, give me a scone.
Edit that one out, E.
Give me a scone and some zombies. accents go in and out. You know, the thing about being from Texas, you know, I don't really have a Texas accent. I'm from Amarillo.
I know you are.
And there's a lot of people that talk real country. And I could probably turn that on quicker, but I don't talk. I don't have an accent.
It's great. So a lot of people say I don't have an accent. English, I didn't learn English till the second grade. First grade, second grade, because I grew up, I'm first generation Vietnamese. And so my parents immigrated over here, and growing up, all they spoke was Vietnamese. So going into like school, going into pre-K, kindergarten, Like, I literally had no conversations with anybody because I just didn't know how to speak English. Going into first grade was when my mom, she was a manicurist. One of her clients was the ESL teacher at the school. Miss Lay, shout out to her. She taught me and both my brothers English. Amazingly, somehow we didn't come out with any accents. It was pretty crazy to look back because I can't really remember like first grade what it was like. Or like kindergarten, not being able to like talk to anyone. Go into school, you play, you take your nap, you eat your snack, you go home.
It's, the good thing about that age range is there's a lot of just natural, you know,
joyful, you know, playfulness.
You know,
yes.
Water is kind of, you can make a sound, just like, huh, hey.
Yes.
Don't say anything. You can showcase what you want without any fear of embarrassment or whatever. Uh-huh. You know, going on the playground, jumping around, whatever it is. So do you still speak Vietnamese?
Yeah, I still do. I speak, cause my parents most familiar, like they both speak English for, pretty well now. But they're more comfortable speaking Vietnamese. So usually I'll like start the conversation in English and then I'll kind of just migrate to Vietnamese. A lot of the reason I do that is also so like my wife, if she's, you know, there, she can also kind of understand, track along with the conversation. Mm-hmm. But naturally it always gravitates back to Vietnamese only cause that's what they're like. That's how they can best communicate. They know more words in Vietnamese. And so I'm like a hybrid now. Hmm. But growing up, because both my grandparents lived with us in our house, grew up in Pleasant Grove out in East Dallas, PG. The good old PG. Made it out of those burbs. It was just growing up. All of my family, like all of our extended family and friends, they were all Vietnamese because it's kind of like when you grow up in that community, it's mm-hmm. just you know, stick pretty closely. And so growing up, we were just all my friends. We all spoke Vietnamese. And then it's pretty wild because we the area in which we grew up in, we were like the only Asian household on the block. So there was outside of when we had like, you know, a party or so like on a weekend. Growing up, I just didn't really have anyone to talk to. So, I was a gamer growing up, you know, played a lot of video games, mm-hmm. Hung out at home with my brothers. But
what year did you graduate high school?
Me?
Uh-huh.
2008. Yeah. Oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah. I thought you were,
you thought I was older?
Well, I thought that didn't, 2008 just sounds weird. I don't know. I was 14 years after I graduated from high school. So that's
11 for
right.
me.
Yeah. Okay, so 10 years. I figured you were about 10 years. Yeah,
97.
Yeah, because I was born 90. Good old 90. Sorry, guys. I had to throw that one in there. 70s.
You know what's funny? They show those little memes or whatever of kids like asking their parents, were you born in the 1900s? And when they say that, just, were you born in the 1900s? I felt that.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I felt it in my lumbar and my...
All of it.
In my sky. I don't know what I'm saying.
These
I'm
kids, actually, they don't understand or appreciate some of the stuff like that we grew up through, like not having to wear a seatbelt. Mm. You know,
cars that don't beep at you when you don't wear a seatbelt. Gosh, I miss those days.
The station wagon that faces the wrong direction, right? Where you're in the back seat and you're facing out, and the people park like pull up behind you, like looking dead in their eye.
Yeah, there's no iPads in the car. There's no screens in the car.
No.
There was no luxury involved. I always tell this story famously. My in-laws took a trip every summer to Lake City, Colorado, and they had a pickup truck, and they had three kids. My wife was the middle child. Her brother, who's the oldest, and her would lay in the back of the pickup for 9 hours driving to Lake City, Colorado. No light covering.
Okay, just...
just lay in the back of the pickup truck for 9 hours. And when it rained, they just put a tarp over them. And that would be criminal these days. Like that would be a headline.
Yes.
You know, Amarillo couple takes mm-hmm. their kids to Lake City, Colorado in the back. Yeah. It would be crazy. But that's the way we lived our lives. I remember riding on the top of cars sometimes. Yeah. And my friends, you know, I'd be like, hey, we're going to just go down the street. Let me just jump mm-hmm. on the top of your car.
Yeah.
And we would just take off down the street.
Yeah. The good old days.
Now it's just
now everyone, you have to wear a helmet when you ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I remember my buddy and I were... I grew up with. He was about 5 years older than me, and we had one bike between the two of us, and he was older, so he would ride it, and then I'd ride on the handlebars, you mm-hmm. know, as we went to Stop and Go, or we went to go get something from a convenience store. One time we're riding, and I'm on the handlebar, and he's like weaving in and out, and my foot goes in between the like, you get stuck in the mm-hmm. spoke.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and you know what happens next.
Oh, yeah.
So we go roll over, and immediately all the bike, he lands on me. I'm scraped up, you know, I'm crying like crazy. And I remember I get home and I'm telling my mom, and she just put some hydroprox, clean it up.
You'll be fine.
Some good blood on the couch.
That happens now to my kid. I mean, we're responding with first aid. Are we going to urgent care? Are we?
Dude, it's so funny. Like with the 2 year old, he's always doing stuff like that, right? And so it's like me and my wife, we have two very different ways of seeing my son do things he's not supposed to. Because my wife's like, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to, you know, you're going to get a cut, or you're going to bruise your leg. And I'm like, son, if you do that, you're going to fall on your face, and then I'm going to laugh at you, and then I'm going to pick you up, but then you're going to learn your lesson. And it's like, she hates when I do that. I think
there's bumps and bruises that we all have to have.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it's one thing to be, you know, dangling from the side of a balcony, you know, that's one thing, but there's something to be said of, you know, sometimes our kids would climb up the stairs, like we had stairs, and they would climb up
the banister.
Mm-hmm. Not too far, but far enough. I was like, if they fall, you know, they're gonna figure it out.
Yes,
and they have to learn how to fall. There's an art to falling too.
Yes,
like that's
an duck and roll, guys.
Yeah, there's. Okay, I want to end on XO. So, Keystone Church, your church. Shout out to Brandon and Susan, great pastors there. I think one of the cool things for me right now in this season is, and my dad's still an integral, big part of it, part of what we're doing here at XO. His content is the best that we have. But this is an event that I'm excited about because my dad's not a part of it, but it's still a great event. Mm-hmm. It's Brandon and Susan will be speaking, Dave and Ashley, yep, and Roop, and Sean and Lynette. It's going to be a great date night experience here in the South Lake area, South Lake Keller area. Keystone has a brand new building. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It's fantastic. You feel like you're in heaven. Am I in church or am I in heaven?
I would agree with that.
Am I in...
It is. To kind of plug Keystone, I mean, it's a beautiful church inside and out. The people just as much. And Brandon and Susan have done just an amazing job with the vision that they had for the church itself, you know, starting from a home to a furniture building to where it is now. And so as we get ready for, you know, this XO date night, which was, you know, I've been part of the church for the past 12 years. I was excited, of course, to just, hey, can XO be part of this when I joined the team? At some point, I wanted the two to enter, you know, to come on, let's do this. But you don't want to be too forceful with it as well. You want this to be led. And so it happened. And so we're excited. We're excited to do it. We have a huge, anticipation for it. Like, we're just so excited for it because it's something local, too, for this community here in South Lake Keller, Grapevine, Colleyville, Norfolk Worth. I mean, there's so many cities that we can pull in from that I think is going to be really neat to kind of do something fun, like a date night where you can get a good and encouraging word. If you don't have a church home, check out Keystone the following Sunday. We'll point you back to Sunday. They'll love to have you back. And so I think this will be fun. I think this will be a lot of fun to do it. It's kind of our first time to do it. This date night model, right? We've been talking about this where it's not featuring Pastor Jimmy, right? That we don't have him necessarily featured out. But it's I don't think it means that it's any less. I think that it's just going to be just as good, just a different flavor.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I think it's going to kick off something really fun, too, because, you know, we've thrown around this date night moniker a lot on a variety of things. You know, we did that test a little back with the Texas Gun Experience and having some of our some of our friends out there. But I think just figuring out ways in which we can continue this, whether it's at a church, whether it is other experiences out there. We got Dance With Me here locally. We got, like, Sur La Table across the street doing these experiences where couples can't just get out, have a night to celebrate their marriage, hang out with each other, and then have a little XO flair on it. We have a specific way in which we do things that people love. And so I think it's been really cool to figure out how can XO kind of help to make this experience a little bit better, just that much better for you.
Yeah, I think following up on what Daniel said there is, you know, we want to experiment. We talked earlier about having a sandbox and R&D things and stuff. And so date night was one of those things that we really felt strongly about. We really want to help couples have fun nights together, give them a good encouraging word, and send them on their way, and so that they feel energized and, you know, ready for what's next in their marriage. And so, you know, date night is something we really believe in. we would love feedback on it. You know, and I guess my plug to people watching, if you're watching this, is let us know what you think about it. Come check it out. If it doesn't work, it's not what you
want. Let us know what you want to see in a date night, too. Yeah. Like, you know, if you have any ideas out there that you've been wanting to do, wanting us to help kind of try to create, I'd love to kind of just hear thoughts on date nights in general.
Yeah, the idea is just to keep people together.
Yeah. You know,
constantly connected, constantly working together, doing something fun together, having an experience that's going to create some newness and some freshness to the relationships. Sometimes you just get in ruts and you need somebody like XO to come around and say, hey, you can try something different, try something new.
Yep.
You know, I'm wanting to, of course, you guys know I'm full of ideas, but yeah, the cooking side to connectivity, you know, whether that's cookbook or cooking show, things like that. How do we infuse that into what we do? I'm thinking about doing some wine tastings, and we're launching a wine label.
XO Wine.
The one I get a lot, the one I hear a lot is kind of like that XO singles, XO dating, right?
Yes.
How can you help us find or how to date, first of all, but then also help us build a community of strong singles. I don't know what that looks like.
That is tough.
No idea. Yes, I know it's tough. I know
XO Christian Mingle type of thing.
Because
I mean, you could go on that. You could do match.com and stuff, but I'm not sure if that's ours.
It turns into the Tinder swindler. I mean, it turns into the...
that's a good one.
That's actually a good
one. That's a good one on Netflix. Shout out to Netflix.
It turns into, you know, like for the ChristianMingle.com.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are looking just to hook up.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think that would be the avenue that we would go down. But, you know, there are different things that we can do to try to promote a good night to come hang out or something, you know. But I do know that that's one area that we are prayerful about, you know, that we get a lot of people that are saying, hey, you know, I'm not married yet, but we love your content. We love, we want to do this right. I want to ensure it's a marriage correct. So how do we do it? We have things, of course, for pre-marriage and engagements and stuff, but single life dating, much different. And so, you know, I'm sure we'll take a stab at that in the future, what that looks like.
For sure.
You know, maybe we follow around Marcus with a reality.
Yeah. Shout out to Marcus, our producer, doing a little, maybe doing a little date show, kind of following his single life.
Kimmy. Yeah. So we could follow both. Yes. I just think there's a lot of opportunity there to try to help people.
Yeah.
Not sure yet what it looks like.
No, that's a big deal. I mean, the opportunity to catch people before they get married and teach them how to find the right person, date the right way, court the right way, and then get married the right way. And their chance of success just skyrockets.
Oh, it does.
Whenever they have that opportunity to start the right way.
It does.
Well, how painful was it? You guys would just be answering emails right now or doing something around the office.
That's very true. Well, hey, before exciting. We leave, I did pull the team.
Like
two questions for you guys.
You pulled them? You pulled
them? Yeah. I asked the team, hey, what if you were to ask BE or EG any question, what would it be? Who would like to go first? EG.
I'll go first.
All right. So question I got for you.
Okay.
You are always, this guy is always full of joy and energy. And it's just always coming
this
in.
This is true.
Coming in strong every morning. Like, what's up, everybody? Everybody wants to know, what's your secret, man? And you cannot pull a little Hulk. I'm always happy.
No. The secret is I had a gift given to me. I just showed you yesterday. My dad, it says, my dad just recently passed away. Mm. And it says, the undisputed champion of joy.
Mm.
And so my dad was that. My pops was that. He was exactly that. And so, and I think I was telling my friend just the other night when he gave it to me was, I think what he had really mastered was, no matter his circumstances, he always remembers his blessings.
Mm.
He always remembers his blessings. And you talked a lot about your walk and like how you got here, you know, from, you know, first generation, you know, here in the States. Is I feel blessed to be a citizen, right? I fought to be a citizen. I was raised in, you know, I was born in Mexico, adopted here to the States, naturalized when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
Like that journey alone makes you very appreciative of just what you have.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to, you know, you add in the fact, like you said, you know, when you were at Baylor, you weren't making wise decisions. You're a little bit wheels off. I was wheels off, you know, and so those things like that, you know, when you know that, hey, there's been a lot of favor, you know, when you weren't even asking for it or you didn't even know you were getting it. That's why. So I think that's the joy part of it. There's not much that's going to get me down.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like what your dad talks about, like, just like, you know, it's supposed to be his end time stuff is supposed to be encouraging.
Yeah,
you know, it's not supposed to be Debbie Downer.
Yeah, for sure. Bah, bah,
you know, it's always joy.
Yeah,
and so that's why I come in joyful.
That's awesome.
It isn't. But sometimes I have to fake it. Sometimes I have to come in like it's not always.
You have to fake it till you make it.
Until you make it.
There you go.
And you have the joy. Your joy tank is full.
Yeah.
All right. So. Question for BE. Okay. What's your favorite memory with your mom and dad?
No.
This pod show was brought to you by, thanks to see you next time. My favorite memory is my mom and dad.
Hallmark moment.
I can't give you that.
Well, I don't know. I've been around for 44 years. Let me think about this. Favorite memory with my mom and dad.
Favorite vacation?
Favorite vacation with my mom and dad. That's not as easy as Eric's.
Yeah, I got an easy one.
Sorry.
I'll give you one.
We'll give him another one. Go ahead.
Well, I mean,
go ahead. You got one?
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, I don't want to answer that question.
That's okay. You know what?
All right, let's throw out another question.
We'll just throw. We will point out the fact that Brent Evans loves some Florida Georgia Line.
Really?
Listen,
there's been a rumor.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all,
told in total confidence in anymore.
I do enjoy the Florida Georgia Line, and I don't care who knows. I don't care.
Okay.
But I actually question anybody who doesn't like them because they're pretty awesome. Okay. But also, I'm into country right now. I don't know what it is. When I put on music right now, I feel like I want to be on the lake with my friends, hanging out. Mm. Well, that's... That's
a friend. Ardell Parmar.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, we just shout out to the Gavics who have a place up in Minnesota. I spent 3 summers in a row up there at Cross Lake, Minnesota with their family on the lake. And they were always playing, you know, Luke Bryan and all those kind of artists on the boat. And it was just awesome. It was just a fun summer. All 3 summers were awesome. Just being out there, you just feel like, there's not a care in the world. And I think that's why some of those, like Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan and
Zach Brown does for me. Like when I hear Zach Brown, that is a
chicken fried.
Yes, that is a lake song right there.
It's a sing along.
Yes,
that's a good sing along.
I used to make fun of Luke Bryan
because of his tight jeans.
Well, just his voice.
Yes, we're outroing to Florida Georgia Line.
So if you go back to the discography, because I'm actually really just experiencing their full discography this year. I used to know just like their "Baby You're a Song" that's kind of their big one.
Yes,
you know, that you listen to on the radio. But if you go back and listen to some of their older stuff, they've got some great stuff.
Really?
It's fun.
Some people might say.
Whatever.
Brent Evans might say.
You have to have a complete diet of music. You can't just stick in one.
I agree. I understand that.
I appreciate everything.
Now, I agree.
I listen to everything. Really, I do. Mm-hmm. I enjoy everything from...
John Mayer. Just helping you out.
Again... John Mayer is a lyrical genius.
I'm not going to deny it.
Don't go to his first stuff. And that's all like bubblegum, like college stuff. But his later stuff, he's amazing. He's got some... There is a line... No, I'm dead serious right now.
I'm listening. Bring it.
If you listen to the song Stop This Train by John Mayer... It's an amazing song.
Stop this train. I'm going to go after we leave here. I'm going to go to my office.
Yeah, we're going to sit. We're going to all sit together and listen to it.
We're not going to all sit together and listen.
It's a song about watching his parents getting older, watching him getting older. And he has a line, "I'm so scared of getting older. I'm only good at being young."
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about just this watching his dad, you know, getting older and everything.
Okay. So it's like one of those like Conway Twitty songs, like the "That's My Job" kind of like gets you in the feels of it.
It's got a vibe to it. He has a song on one of his new albums. I like all of his stuff. He's got some great stuff, but it's called "In the Blood." And it's talking about how he is. And is it always in the blood? Like how his mom was, how his dad was. Is that just always the way it's going to be? Is it always in the blood, like getting passed down, that kind of thing? Play that song.
Turn it up.
Play that funky music.
Oh man.
So okay. So what else do you listen to? What's the third artist? So all right. So I know that you listen to FGL. I know that you listen to Mayer. What's the third one then? Because that's variety. There's two different there. So yeah, what's the third
very
one?
Different.
What's the third one? What would be the third one then?
I don't know. My kids influence a lot of what I'm going to say.
I mean, we're gaining viewers right now. We're gaining viewers right now.
It's Cody Johnson, but that's can't really
you can't go wrong with Cody Johnson. I'm trying to get the people what they want, Rich.
So the top songs, so I don't even know so many songs on my top songs of 2021 because my kids played them. Like Big and Chunky by Will.i.am.
Ah, that's your song.
That's your song.
Big and Chunky. I like them chunky. There's some Weekend on here.
All right, Weekend's got some Post great Malone, stuff, man.
You got some Surfaces, right? Yeah. I got you.
I'm not trying to. We've been listening, Mike. So a lot of the Marvel Universe soundtracks, they have some great stuff on there. So we'll
the Guardians.
Totally. Guardians great is stuff. A solid soundtrack. I have that on vinyl, and that's a really fun one. Yeah.
So I have to be careful what I listen to around my kids. We've been digging some CC Winans, Believe.
That was so good.
That's our Sunday morning drive to church song.
Bro, I will never unlive that moment of seeing CC perform live at XO this past February. Yeah, that was
fantastic. It was one of those. It's a moment. Like for me, it was one of those. I remember being in there while she was doing sound check, and she was everyone was out, and I think there was maybe about 15, 20 of us in there, and she's singing, and it's. She's not even like trying. I mean, it's just so effortlessly just comes out.
It's ridiculous.
She's so talented. And, you know, and I'm standing there and her husband, Alvin, shout out to Alvin for getting them over there. Alvin Love was the man.
Yeah.
He's standing there and I remember standing next to Keisha and we're kind of like looking at each other like, this is too good to be true. You know, how do we end up here? You know, we're just two kids from, you know, Arlington and GP. And, you know, it was a cool moment. So good CC song. CC song.
It is.
Okay. Well, so for those of you listening, for those of you watching, thanks for being a part of the pod show. This is a different slice of the XO pie. I hope you enjoy it. For those that are listening, please make an effort to come to the Keystone Church event, XO Date Night, coming up in April. We'll be in Pittsburgh, Colorado Springs, Atlanta.
Austin.
Amarillo by morning this fall. So we have a lot of places for you to come here. Amazing content. Please listen and like and subscribe this video. Please tell your friends about it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.